Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It's another one of our irregular episodes. And what a time to be back recording on the eve of Scotland's do-or-die World Cup clash with our Celtic rivals and the world's number one ranked side, Ireland. So the teams are out, there's plenty of talking points. But before we get into the nitty and gritty, just a reminder that, as always, you can follow us on all the usual channels where we're likely to probably be more active in the coming weeks versus recording. So make sure to check out Thistle Rugby Pod on Twitter and Thistle _ Rugby _ Pod on Instagram, where the memes have been flying, particularly thanks to Alan's newfound obsession with TikTok. I think we also have a fantasy league, but I haven't looked at it once. I don't know if you're across that at all, Alan.
Yeah, I'm 60th of about 400. Do we just want to state that Dave's voice hasn't suddenly become a little bit whinier over the last 3 weeks?
And actually, well, yeah, I was. Thanks very much. I was going to get to that. And yeah, it's not as if I've just read that opening script line for line to make sure I get it right. But yeah, Dave is away. I'm not sure what's he up to at the moment? Getting that old turkey neck tuned up a little bit, something like that?
Yeah, you've got to have sort of every 3 years have a bit of maintenance on it. So
yeah.
That's that time again.
I think he's in Bulgaria, some sort of rogue surgeons. But yeah, so it's just the two of us today. Alan, how are you getting on, man? Have you recovered from our trip a few weeks ago to Nice for that Tonga match?
It should be a little while, actually. And the risk of flights being cancelled the day after the match was a real sort of like element of fear that wasn't needed, sort of post sort of back-to-back nights out. Thankfully, obviously, got home. But no, it was good. I mean, Nice is just such like a great city. The match itself was quite average, I would say. There was never like, Tonga were never quite in the match enough for it to feel like there was enough jeopardy, and at the same time Scotland weren't exactly blowing it out of the park, so it was kind of a broadly sort of comfortable, I'd say average performance, but at the same time it's like great city, great weather, pretty good stadium, pretty nice little weekend all round.
Yeah, I felt like the build-up was the highlight, particularly our sort of our beach lunch on the Sunday. And you know, a comfortable win in the end, but didn't shoot the lights out. And I think, although Tonga put up a pretty good fight against South Africa, and in bits and pieces against Ireland and Scotland, they've actually probably, they're not actually that strong a side. So it wasn't exactly the best contest, but just great to see a bit of live sport down in the south of France. The big concrete jungle of the Nice Stadium, can't really beat it.
No, 100%. I guess the fear is, and I will sort of go into it, is has Tonga and Romania, given it's been a month basically, right, since the South Africa match, has Tonga and Romania set Scotland up in a good place for this match against Ireland. Obviously, no injuries, but since that South Africa match, probably haven't quite been tested even close to what will come tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think in contrast to the way the games have landed for Ireland, their build-up seemed pretty much perfect in that respect. Like, they're allowed to peak for this game. So for today, a little bit of a look at the lineups, talk about the head-to-heads, talk about where we think we could possibly win the match, and then a few predictions. So obviously the teams are out now. A bit of a late lunch announcement as per from the SRU, which is really, I don't know, not exactly helping with pre-match nerves. But we've got Kinghorn at fullback, Darcy Graham and Doohan on the wings, Hupeloto in the centre, Finn Russell and Ali Price reunited at halfback, Schoeman, Turner, Fagerson, Gray and Gilchrist in that front five, and then the now familiar back row of Ritchie, Darge and Dempsey. On the bench, Ashman, Sutherland, Nell cover the front row, and then Cummings, Fagerson and Crosby covering the back five, and George Horn, Ollie Smith are the back subs in a 6-2 split. Alan, what were sort of the main talking points in that? What really grabbed your attention about that announcement?
I guess maybe, so start with the back line. Ali Price was unexpected. I think we obviously discussed it in our sort of WhatsApp group that clearly he was getting put forward for press. And it would seem strange to put Ali Price forward if he wasn't going to be involved. But just given the fact that Ben White, especially in the last 12 months, has been such a regular starter and Horn is such a great impact player off the bench, I think I still thought that Ben White was the more likely choice to start. So seeing him on the pitch, you know, ultimately, he's a Lion, he's got 65 caps, and his form's probably improved a little bit, especially on the sort of back end of the season and during the preseason, but still a little bit surprised to see him starting at nine.
Yeah, I agree. It seems as if he's sort of come out of from the cold a little bit. I wonder if Ben White, remember, picked up that, I think, ankle injury in the warm-ups against France, and he's not quite looked back to his best since then. So I wonder if there is just an element of injury, because I think if you were going purely on sort of form and recent game time, then Horn might be the person to start. But another conversation we had on the WhatsApp group was Horn has only really played for Scotland off the bench in recent years, and particularly in those big matches, he's not started. So although there maybe is an argument for having his pace there from the start, it's probably quite a big ask to expect him to sort of lead the team around the park against a team like Ireland, I guess.
100%. And I think ultimately his skill set and where his weaknesses, his strengths and his weaknesses are more suited to the final third than the first 50, especially against Ireland, where box kicks in particular are going to have to be on point throughout that sort of, especially first sort of 20, 30 minutes. And like, not that Horn's kind of bad, but probably of the three, that's where he's weakest. And then in terms of his strengths, clearly his speed, support lines, kind of his ability to kind of inject energy into a match, he's clearly the strongest of those three. So I think ultimately, in my eyes, the choice should always have been Price or White to start, with Horn coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think so. And then I suppose elsewhere in the backs, there was quite a lot of chat about Steyn maybe coming in for Darcy Graham, despite Darcy Graham's pretty decent showing against Romania. Were you banging the drum for Steyn, or are you pretty happy to see Darcy there?
Up until, I'd say, a week or two ago, I was probably team Steyn. And I think probably the two things that have swayed me across to the Darcy Graham camp, one is just obviously him against Romania, and there is just certain things he can do, especially in small amounts of space, that is actually sort of truly unique. And obviously he sort of demonstrated that he's still got that in the match against Romania. I appreciate they weren't particularly great. I think the sort of second one is that sort of switch from having to win to having to win by more than seven. just slightly shifts the emphasis from attack to defence in terms of what we need to think about as a team. You know, clearly Steyn is, I'd say Steyn's almost the most consistent player across 80 minutes, most consistent winger across 80 minutes between him, Doohan and Graham. But I think ultimately we're going to have to go out and probably score maybe plus 25 points. And I think actually that means we've got to have people like Graham and Doohan who ultimately are game changers and can create something out of nothing. So I think that shift just probably makes me value Graham's attacking abilities more than Steyn's defensive and kind of consistency.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's probably a common theme across the selection overall that we've got to go out and try and win it. And there are probably a few people on Twitter arguing for the likes of Harris to start and then Jones to come off the bench. But I think when you try to start containing Ireland, then you sort of get into a bit of an arm wrestle. And I just don't think we're going to do so well with that approach.
Yeah.
I mean, the forwards are pretty as expected. Were there anyone that you maybe thought could come in or could add something a little bit different?
Yeah, I guess I thought potentially, do you choose Cummings over Gilchrist? I think we sort of talked about it. I feel like Gilchrist is just so solid, but it feels like Cummings' ceiling is higher. And it's like, do you take a risk and hope that, you know, Cummings has a really, really good game? Obviously, with the risk being that he doesn't quite, he can make mistakes. But you know, like ultimately, I don't think you can sort of complain about it. And then, feels like of that back row, the only real question was, is it Darge or Watson? Now, obviously, Watson played well against Romania, but I don't think we can really underestimate how poor Romania were,
yeah.
Especially in defence. And I think actually, appreciate Darge being was a little bit quiet against South Africa, but I think when you look at the preseason matches and his form across the last year, I think it's hard to make a case that Watson should start ahead of Darge outside of just, you know, he's been such a great player for the last 8-9 years for Scotland. He might have a big game in him, but I think ultimately the right choice is Darge starting at seven.
I mean, that's probably the selection that has upset people the most, it seems, is the absence of Hamish Watson from the 23. I think one of our friends referred to it as the rugby public being horrified by the omission, which I thought was a bit over the top. But what do you think is the logic behind that? And yeah, as you said, good game against Romania, but pretty poor opposition. Do you think there was a case for having Watson there, or how do you sort of make sense of that?
I think obviously once they've gone for the 6-2 split, I think given the fact Richie Gray can do 80. And just how dynamic and fit the Irish back row is, I think you ultimately put yourself in a place where, right, well, this additional forward is going to be our back row. So then your choice is ultimately between Crosby and Watson. And I think it's a super tough one, but ultimately, I don't think what Watson gives you in attack is enough to compensate for A, the optionality that Crosby can give you across basically 4-8, his role in the line-out, and also actually ultimately Crosby's strengths, especially when it comes to the breakdown and in defence. So I can see how, again, based off, you know, the last 8-10 years of Watson and, you know, ultimately what he did against Romania. But I think actually my personal view is that when you actually sit down and think about it logically, Crosby is just the right choice given what we might need in that last sort of 20, 30 minutes against Ireland.
Yeah, I can definitely buy into that. And
would you be Team Watson? Are you Team Crosby?
I'm a massive Watson fan and always have been. And he's been so good for Scotland on so many occasions. But I think combined with that point around just the context of the match and the versatility that Crosby has in a number of areas, And also, I feel like, yeah, Watson did very well against Romania, but prior to that, he's not really been able to, through a mixture of sort of injury and maybe form, almost since the Lions tour, actually, hasn't been able to string together like that many consistent strong performances. So I think it would be different if it was the Hamish Watson of 2021, for instance. But I just don't know if he's quite at that level at the moment. And then I think if you just focus on like the guy who has been selected, I think Crosby's maybe like underwhelmed a little bit in his few games, but I don't think he's let anyone down. And I'm actually reasonably excited about the thought of him coming off the bench and just being told to be like an absolute nuisance and just unbelievably physical, like maybe run straight at Johnny Sexton for a little bit, for instance. And I don't think he necessarily has the edge over that Irish back row, but I think having someone that confrontational on the bench is once again maybe just what we need in the context of the match.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel really bad for Watson. I think ultimately, if you look at the past decade and you were to pick probably like the top five Scotland players, he's in that list. And I think when you look at the World Cups, you know, he just missed out on 2015. Probably the arrival of like, you know, a Hardy probably kind of squeezed him out. 2019, he got injured in that first match, really early in the first half against Ireland. And, you know, now in 2023, he's sort of ultimately a squad player starting one match against Romania. I imagine for him, it's obviously incredibly disappointing, just given how central he has been to almost like the resurgence of Scottish rugby. Obviously, you've got Hogg and Finn, but actually from a forward standpoint, he really has been kind of one of the central figures. So I feel bad for the man, but I think ultimately when you look at it dispassionately, I think we would have been happy with both, but I can completely understand the logic of how you end up with Crosby on that bench.
Yeah. And I guess the other sort of talking point on the bench is Ollie Smith included ahead of Kyle Steyn, for instance. Do you think that's once again just horses for courses, or what things are thinking behind that?
It's an interesting one. I sort of have three names in my head. I thought you could go Ollie Smith, Kyle Steyn, and Redpath. Actually, probably Harris. So you got sort of four options, and they all sort of have their pros and cons. And I guess ultimately with Ollie Smith, it's just that specialist fullback, and ultimately just given how good Ireland's kicking game is across the back line, especially that back three. I guess the fear is if someone does go down early and you have a Steyn or even a Hugh Jones going to fullback for sort of 60, 70 minutes, it's a pretty tough position to be in. At the same time, sort of going with the logic of, are we taking kind of risks? You know, as I said, Darcy Graham, there is an argument to say that is a little bit of a risk, but we're doing it because we're wanting to kind of put an attacking game plan. There is part of me that feels like potentially Steyn or even Cam Redpath maybe might have just given you something more off the bench. But at the same time, like, I think Ollie Smith's been pretty good and pretty solid in the matches he's played. And I think you could have gone either way, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't hate the selection, but I would probably have gone with Steyn just because I think as much as possible you want to get your best players involved, and he has shown himself to be just such a, as you said, such a reliable performer for Scotland in recent periods. But maybe, yeah, having that solidity with Smith at the back might just make a little bit more sense given the kicking game.
When I was thinking through, who do you think Tooney would see as third choice fullback in that squad? I thought it might be Hugh Jones. Just given,
I mean, yeah, the other options.
Or I mean, Darcy?
Darcy has played a little bit of fullback, and I think for a while they were trying to make him that option, but I don't think it's his best position.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, yeah, Jones did pretty well at fullback for Harlequins. Few appearances off the bench there for Scotland.
Yeah. I think the player that I feel like this tournament's come just a couple, 2 months early is Redpath. You know, obviously he was injured a lot over the last year, and he's only just sort of been a bit of a bit part player over the last 12 months. But I really feel when he came on against South Africa, when he's played for Scotland previously, and even in that Romania match, he's just such a classy player. And I thought potentially he might squeeze onto the bench, and you would ultimately look, you would shift, Jones back to fullback if someone like a Kinghorn went down, and you would shift Redpath into that centre, just because I think he is someone that brings a massive sort of point of difference. But it's probably just a couple of months too early. I think if he maybe had a few more games playing for Scotland and for Bath, he might be more in the conversation.
Yeah, I wonder if with Finn going to Bath as well, they'll develop more of that combination. And he's going to have opportunities in the future, but if Finn can sort of lead a bit of a revival at Bath with bringing Redpath along with him, then we might see that a bit more in Scotland jersey. I mean, overall, without sort of tempting fate, like, this is pretty much the strongest squad we could pick. And do you think it's one of the strongest just absolute teams that Scotland have managed to put out in kind of recent memory?
I think so. I do understand the trepidation around the bench. I think I don't think it's as bad as some people have sort of made out. Ultimately, I think especially someone like Matt Ferguson, Sutherland, George Horn, these are players who have played in big matches against England, Ferguson started a lot of those big matches. I think he'll bring a lot off the bench. But I think when you look at it and you compare it to Ireland, or even maybe some of the benches we've had in the past, it probably just feels a tad weaker. And I think ultimately that fear is that once they make that switch around the sort of 55, 60 minute mark, given that is the period of time in which we have always sort of struggled to live with Ireland, will that ultimately be the differential? You know, it feels like this game could very easily turn into kind of like the story we always know, which is Scotland are kind of in it with 55, 60 minutes to go, and then ultimately Ireland sort of pull away and end up winning by sort of 12 to 15 points. And it feels like Ireland are bringing more off the bench than we are.
I suppose looking at that Irish team, just a couple of one change since the South Africa match, and that's Ian Henderson coming in for James Ryan, who drops to the bench, and then Henshaw also dropping out through injury with McCluskey coming on. You know, on a head-to-head basis, are there any Scots that you're putting in that Irish team? Be honest.
On the bench or in the starting team?
In the starting team. Overall.
I think, and we discussed this a little bit, I don't think Andy Farrell, I think there's an argument to suggest that Andy Farrell wouldn't pick any of the Scotland 15 ahead of the starting Irish 15. And that includes the wingers just because of how Andy Farrell plays. I personally think that there is an argument that at 40, on both wings, at 10, maybe Richie over Ian Henderson. And then I think there's an argument to suggest you would look, you could fit like a Darge in when he's on form ahead of Omani. But
I don't think you're going to convince many people with that argument.
I don't really like Omani.
I know. I think, but I would love if he, I don't like him at all, but I would love if we played for Scotland probably.
Yeah. I think you would definitely pick probably Doohan ahead of Mac. I think Russell just get ahead of Sexton, and I think potentially Richie Gray goes in ahead of Ian Henderson.
Yeah, I think as you say, it's maybe not actually that useful a question because of the different styles, and like Townsend might not pick Sexton, for instance. And I reckon Farrell wouldn't have Russell because he wouldn't suit how Ireland play.
Yeah.
I think in terms of like, it's really frustrating. We've had this conversation before around how that question of how Mac Hansen is actually that good. And you'd think that Doohan would have the edge on him massively. But Hansen's like rugby intelligence, I think, you know, the last time they played, that came out and sort of allowed him to have the edge on the day. Maybe ahead of Lowe. I mean, Lowe's class as well, but just for like pure impact. And then beyond that, I'd struggle a little bit. Like maybe Schoeman and, I mean, Porter is a very good player, but maybe Schoeman and Porter might have a good head-to-head.
Yeah.
I guess, but beyond that, it's difficult.
Flipping the question round, if you could take one player from that Ireland team, for the Scotland team, who would it be?
I think either it'd be a forward, and it would be one of Van der Fleer, Byrne, or Furlong, I think.
Yeah.
I think where we struggled with Ireland and other teams recently is a lot of it's at the breakdown. And I think that Van der Fleer and Byrne are like two of the best at that, at pilfering ball. And yeah, I like Ferguson a lot, but Furlong just gives you that like scrum platform that like no one else, I guess.
Agreed. And I think that probably is an interesting kind of point to then go into just the breakdown in general. And I think ultimately, you know, this is by a considerable margin the biggest match in Jamie Rich's career. There you go.
Yeah.
And you know, and the biggest match, obviously, in Darge's very young career. We've obviously got two players, which they probably had two matches that you can almost kind of use as a barometer for this match. One is the South Africa match, where they got completely blown away, weren't able to do anything in terms of turnovers, weren't able to slow down the South African ball, and I think in a lot of ways struggled to protect our ball. And then you've got the France match in pre-season, where actually both players managed to get some traction in at the breakdown. Now, I guess the good thing from that is it's the same ref
that we had
in that Scotland-France match. So when it comes to the breakdown, you'd like to think that Richie and Darge would be confident that they have the styles that are made to hopefully succeed with Nick Berry as a ref. But my fear is, and what's happened before with Ireland, is if we just can't slow that ball down, or we can't get turnovers at key moments, then I just don't see a way in which we can beat them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I suppose it leads on to a broader question of, you know, beyond the breakdown, obviously that is so critical, but is there anything else that we've got in our locker that means that we can beat this Irish side? Like, I suppose beyond the breakdown, like, what else do we need to do? What can you envisage? How do you envisage us beating that team?
I do think, I'm sort of looking back at the All Six Nations match from last year, and we did get traction kind of getting outside 13. You remember when Doohan sort of came round? I think two things I'd like us to do. One is early doors is really just getting Sione and Doohan hitting the line hard. I think both players still haven't quite managed to utilise them in the right way in terms of getting over the game line, especially kind of how Ireland use like Bundiaki, for example. And so I think using them effectively to be able to set up a platform for Finn to do what Finn does, it's just a really key for us. And I think probably more so key for us than it would be for Ireland, just because we don't quite have the carrying power in the forwards as an Ireland does. Now,
yeah,
whether that gives us the advantage, whether that's an area of advantage, I don't know, but it feels like that is a relatively sort of key area for us.
I think the other one is, I don't think that we got it going against South Africa at all, was the attacking kicking game. And I think that South Africa employed that rush defence, which we tried to sort of go round or through, and that really didn't work. And although Ireland employed a different, slightly different approach, I think they'll be looking to do the same. Their defence is very strong, line speed is very quick. So I think once again we got a little bit of joy with that approach the last time we played Ireland. So I'd really like to see, you know, maybe start the game up with a few hit ups through Sione, and then for Finn to bring the defence onto him and try a few of those kicks for Jones, Darcy, etc. Because as we talked about, I think we're not going to win the game through an arm wrestle. We obviously have to get set piece right. And the line-out is probably a really key area that was a big issue against South Africa and against Ireland when we last played them. But I think we can't die wondering, I guess, which is
100%.
Obviously risky. And I think arguably what this World Cup has shown so far is that playing too much with the ball doesn't really work, because I think mainly because of the conditions that have made that ball slippy due to the humidity. So that's one of my slight worries, that we have to win by a certain amount. We might try and do a little bit too much, and Ireland can deal with that. They'll be quite happy with us having the ball for long periods if we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, completely agree. And I think actually that was one of the disappointing things of that South Africa match, is Finn sort of did that crossfield kick once to Darcy Graham, which sort of just went over into touch.
Yeah.
But very marginally, actually. It was broadly like it was not far off being a pretty perfect kick. But then after that happened and we made that mistake, we didn't seem to do any of that again. And that felt like a bit of a mistake, to your point. It felt if we were going to break down South Africa, then we needed to really stretch them and kind of have and put a few more of those types of tactical kicks through to break down their defence. So no, I agree. I think, you know, ultimately Finn's the best in the business at it, and as long as we can get close to parity, I think that's got to be the way in which we're going to beat a team which is ultimately like insanely organised when it comes to defence, right?
If we did win, and we'll come on to predictions, if we did win, would it be the greatest win in the modern pro era?
If we win by more than 7?
Yes.
Greatest win in the pro... I think it's definitely the greatest... It would definitely be the greatest win, I think, since the Six Nations happened. I'm trying to think whether you could like argue there was wins at like the 99, 5 and 8. Obviously, we won a trophy,
yeah,
right?
I'm probably discarding that because it was maybe semi-pro from 2000 onwards.
Yeah. I think so. I think ultimately, in terms of the history between Scotland and Ireland, especially over the last kind of probably say 8 to 9 years, our relationship with them in terms of constantly being beaten up, outside of 2017, the fact that Sexton's not lost to a Scottish team in 24 games in a row.
12 years
he never lost. Just given our issues with Ireland as a team. And I think then given the pressure and the requirement to not only win, but to get more than 7 points, I think ultimately it hands down would be a bigger win than even beating England at Twickenham back sort of 3 years ago, when it was the first win in 32, 30, 34 years. You know, ultimately that is a great win. But in terms of stakes, this is as high as it gets, right? And I think in terms of opponent, it's actually a much more difficult opponent than England were 3 years ago. And you not only have to win, you got to win by 8 or more.
Yeah. They're also, as we were discussing before the podcast, they're also our fiercest rivals at the moment. And I know you've got a lot to say on the strength, the fierceness of that Scottish-Irish rivalry.
Yeah. I just think I've shifted from almost reveling in the Scottish-Irish rivalry to almost finding it a little bit painful. And actually, I think that's on both sides, right? I think we've both taken it too far. I think post-World Cup, whatever happens, we've got to come back together, have a bit of an intervention, sit down, mediation, and ultimately remember that what it's really about, which is how much we hate England and Wales and becoming friends again. Because, yeah, just I've actually found a bit of the narrative pre-match across both sides of the fan spectrum, just like, I don't know what the right word is, but just a little bit painful. At the same time, if Scotland beat Ireland, I'm sure we will be 100% contributing to that discourse online.
Oh yeah, got one of those tweets with like a lineup of all famous Irish people, and then like your boys took one hell of a beating. Like,
yeah.
I think we've been writing that one for a while, but
and then just every article the Irish media have like ever said negatively about Scotland, and then that meme of like Brian Cox being like, I love it.
Yeah, the one I think particularly the one of Ronan O'Gara saying that we were too mouthy.
Yeah,
like that would be trotted out, which would be enjoyable.
100%, and you just know Finn's pulling some sweet sort of look afterwards that's going to go completely viral.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other day, maybe we move on to predictions, unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
No, it's good.
You, on a WhatsApp group the other week, I'm going to throw you under the bus here. You said that Scotland had a 2-3% chance of winning.
Yeah.
Was that tongue in cheek? Have you revised that at all, or are you still sticking by that?
I think there is definitely less than a 10% chance. I mean, ultimately, you said, Sexton's not lost to Scotland in 11 matches, the number one in the world. Yeah. And we've got to beat them by more than 8. I think just for Scotland to win, I think there's a fair argument to suggest, you know, it's a 15% chance. And then I think when you think about the fact you've got to score more than 8, I think the two stats that came out was Scotland haven't beaten Ireland by more than 8 points, by more than 7 points, sorry, since 2001. And Ireland have only lost by more than 7 points once in the last 3 years, which was that first match to New Zealand away, which is just gives you, you know, the issue isn't just beating them. It's the fact that it's hard to kind of get that clear a gap. And I think actually when you put that all together, I think a fair odds is probably maybe not two, but I think less than 5 is a pretty fair position to get to.
So you think if they played 100 times, Scotland would win less than 5?
I think, yeah, probably like 3 or 4. I think you'd probably win maybe, let's say, 12 to 15 times.
That just seems like, when you put it that way, it just seems so grim.
Yeah, which will make the win even sweeter. I don't know, maybe I'm being a little bit too pessimistic, but I think we've gone through these cycles before, especially with Ireland, right? Where you sort of convince yourself, and I do this as well, right? When Ireland were away in New Zealand, I was like, New Zealand beat them in the first match. I was like, I just don't think this Ireland team's that good, or at least it's not that good. And then they beat New Zealand 2-1 in an away series. Again, with that South Africa match, you know, ultimately, I probably went into that thinking South Africa was slight favourites, and Ireland, you know, have a way of not only winning, but I think, again, the issue for us in terms of winning by more than 7 is they just stay. They're never, you know, no one's ever kind of getting away from them. And that's my fear is, you know, even if by some miracle, not miracle, but we're able to win the match, I just really struggle to see how we get it to that sort of plus 7.
I mean, a less than 5% chance pretty much is calling for a miracle, right? I know what you mean. It is easy to build it up, and it's the perennial building up hope of Scottish rugby. And, you know, as we said, like it's one of the strongest teams we could possibly put out. But then you look at the cold, hard facts of our record against Ireland, driven by the style of rugby that they play, which, similar to South Africa, is just our absolute kryptonite.
Yeah.
So it is, when you try and approach it in a cold-hearted, rational way, like, it is difficult to envisage a victory, sadly.
Yeah. I think chance of hitting blackjack with your first two cards is 4.8%. So I just think about it like that, you know?
There you go.
That's, That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I do feel, you know, we're owed a bit of good luck. So maybe there's like a red card. That would be nice.
Yeah, obviously that shifts the dial like quite massively. But you've got to remember, I mean, we literally played them last year. They didn't have a hooker on the pitch.
For, like, oh, no, I remember.
And we weren't able to break down this team. And...
Oh, yeah, I think an extra man would not guarantee a win.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I think would you choose an interception try or losing a match? Interception try in like the first 5-10 minutes or, you know, a red card? And the reason I'm sort of thinking is there's a part of me that feels like we need to get ahead.
Yeah.
I feel like if we get behind, we're just never getting there. And it's like if we can somehow just catch them cold in the first 5-10 minutes, get whether it's, you know, 7-10 point lead, then a bit of doubt starts to creep in and we can sort of hopefully try and imprint our game plan. My fear is that we end up, you know, 35 minutes in, you're sort of 8-3 down and we're just constantly chasing the match. And I'm just so good at game management and kind of just continuing to build that score that even if we win the match, we're just never going to be able to get that +7 difference. So there's almost a part of me that thinks, you know, in terms of value to Scotland, there's almost more value in some sort of like breakaway try in the first 10 minutes that gives us that lead rather than them losing a man.
And then maybe we extend the lead with a penalty.
Yeah.
And then I think that's what needs to happen. I think we need to somehow, this is the big, big like somehow get to a position where Ireland are behind and chasing the game a little bit, because I don't think their team is built to do that.
Yeah.
But that's a big ask.
It is.
So what do you think then? What's your prediction?
Most likely outcome, I think, is Ireland win. I think actually, I don't think you'll see a scenario in which we're behind and then they shift away. I think the most likely scenario is it's about even and they end up shifting maybe 5 to 7 points ahead at the end. So I think I'd probably go, I think probably one try apiece and you're looking at a sort of 23-18 to Ireland win.
Yeah, I mean, what's been the average gap? It was 12.5 points in the last however many games. I could kind of see that, to be perfectly honest. I think if you approach it rationally, Ireland probably are... What's the gap between first and fifth in the world? Probably something like that. If not, maybe a little bit more. I also have this, it would be very, very funny / grim if we beat them by 6 or 5 or something, and then we still went out.
But yeah.
It would be quite funny.
I'm not sure.
I think it would be quite funny. It would get us great engagement. It would get us great engagement, which is
true.
A measure of how funny things are. But
I initially said that I thought a win, but less than 7 was worse than a loss, but I actually don't think that's the case. I think, you know, whilst obviously it's not great, you know, I'd prefer us to win by 4 than lose the match, even if it means we get knocked out.
Yeah.
It's, I guess the reason I didn't think we'd lose by sort of 12 plus is I think Ireland have already got an eye on the quarterfinal and they're thinking about New Zealand. Because ultimately, they got beaten by, 30 points, right, the last quarterfinal. For us, this is our final. And you'd like to think that brings it closer together. Whether that's enough for us to win, I'm not quite sure. But you got to think that there is a little bit of an edge that Scotland have that, you know, this is the World Cup final, I think, for Scotland.
Combined with how much Ireland had to put into that South Africa game.
Yeah.
That potentially at the emotional level, we can derive something from this. But I also get the sense that like an Andy Farrell team like Ireland just they're not going to let that happen.
Yeah,
like they'll get that build up right. I'm pretty sure, but that's maybe the something to cling on to. But it's, I mean, I'm already really, really nervous about it, which is fun. And an 8 o'clock kickoff as well. We're nervous about it all Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Agreed. It'd be great for like Samoa just to beat England in the match before, really settle the nerves, sort of inject a little bit of humour into the pre-match sort of.
Yeah, no, you can take something from the day.
But no, it'd be good. It's, I guess if we did get knocked out though, it never felt feel like the World Cup ever really quite started for Scotland. It's just almost like that South Africa match happened, then there was a 2 week break. Tonga, yeah, fine, Romania, and then we're out. And I don't know. It's obviously a bit disappointing, but it just feels like Scotland haven't even quite kind of gotten to the groove yet.
Yeah, that's been my fear. Like immediately post losing that South Africa game, the odds were already stacked against us, and we could go out without having fired a shot. But maybe that adds another element where, you know, it's do or die. We've got to give it a crack, and with Ben Russell at the helm, you never know, I guess.
Agreed. And then if we win, we've got France in the quarters, which would be fun.
I mean, I'd rather play France than Ireland, probably, or South Africa.
You'd rather play France than New Zealand?
Possibly, yeah, because we've beaten France. And although New Zealand aren't as good as they were, we have never beaten them, so.
I know we're getting so far ahead of us.
Well, yeah, let's say.
But I agree, actually. I think Scotland, not obviously, again, I think of the four, especially with DuPont injured, Intermac out, and Marchand especially out.
Yeah.
Take a crack at it.
I can't wait.
Next week.
It's going to be great.
That's for next week. Be a great match.
Exactly. Right, should we leave it there?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Once again, next time we record is up in the air, semi-regular.
Review pod next week with all three.
That would be good.
If Dave's recovery goes ahead of schedule.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that. Hope he's doing all right. But yeah, in the meantime, bring on Saturday. Good luck, everyone.
See you later.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.